Thanks, guys. So pretty powerful worship. Y'all sounded fantastic, guys. You really did. It was powerful. I needed that. You know. There's anytime you're stepping into something brand new, there's always the fear of the unknown. So I certainly am no different than anybody else. I'm dealing with it. You know, so it's I appreciate it. You know, having the Lord remind you, hey, I got you. You know, it's an important message. We all need it. I appreciate the guys. First of all, guys, thank y'all so much for all the support. You know, it means a lot, and this is not an easy thing to step into. I've, like most of you have heard, I had the Lord speak to me almost 16 years ago about pastoring a church in Wilmington, and so He really has been preparing me for this. But you still feel like, man, this is so over my head, which it's supposed to be. God never calls people to things that they can do. He always calls people to things they can't do, which requires them to lean in on their beloved and draw the strength and what they need to be able to do. And then who gets the glory? God. So God's about to do some incredible stuff, but it's going to be God that's doing it. You know, He's using us, but all glory goes to Him, because without Jesus said, of my own self, I can do nothing. That's the Son of the living God. If that's true for Jesus, how much more for us? So anyway, I appreciate all the support. I have a group of friends that came in to support me. I appreciate you guys. Also, Peter and Jesse, Peter's mother and brother are here from Scotland, and they're in the back there. Wave at us. Heather and Stephen. So we're glad to have them. They're going to be going back to Scotland, but I hope they need to move here, I think. Come on. We'd love to have you. I love the accent, and Peter's already starting to lose his, so we got to. Emma, can you stand up? Just stand up. This is Emma. Everybody know, how many people don't know Emma? Okay. That's odd for me, because every time I'm out with Emma, like, everybody knows her. You know, she's got an incredible ministry. I just want to recognize her. She has a ministry called One Christian Network, and it's all about connecting the body of Christ in Wilmington, and really got an awesome vision. I'm going to have her come, not today, but at some point I want her to share, because she really is going after connecting the body of Christ in town, and it's really awesome. So, you know. All right, well, let's get into it. Help, Lord. All right, so, guys, I want to talk to us today. I want to cast a little bit of vision for, you know, me and Paul and Josh have been getting together and praying. If you don't know, that's kind of the pastoral staff here as of right now. Myself, Josh, and y'all, you know, Paul. So we've been praying and seeking the Lord, and we really feel like the Lord's given us some clarity about what, you know, how to move forward. And I just wanted to kind of cast some vision, but at the same time, I want us to talk about something that's really important for all of us to understand. And the first thing is calling. What is your calling? What is every individual's calling? What is it that God's called us to as individuals? You know, if we don't know our individual part, how are we going to join together? You know, so there's twofold purpose of every person. Everyone has a twofold purpose, okay? We're going to look at some scriptures. Let's turn to 1 John 1. Everything I do, I want it to be word-based. You know, the Spirit is what gave us this Bible, and He will never contradict this Word. And so I want to, anything I teach, I want it to be grounded in the Word, and to where you guys can go back and you can take a look and say, hey, is this in the Word? And if it's not, then we just need to throw it away. Okay, so 1 John chapter 1. This is John. You know what I love about this passage is that John, when I read this, you'll see that he's been, he's looking back on the encounters that he walked 3.5 years with the Lord Jesus in the flesh. Like, he walked with Him. He slept beside Him in the open air at times. He leaned His head on His breast, you know, at the Last Supper. So it's just kind of see it from that perspective. what was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, and what we beheld and our hands handled concerning the word of life. And the life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. What we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, that you also may have fellowship with us, and indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Okay? That's like the first thing that we need to realize about our calling. Our calling is fellowship first. Fellowship is the number one thing we're called to, but the priority has to be our fellowship with God first. Out of that, it gives us fellowship with one another. So when God made Adam, the very first thing that he did when he made Adam, Genesis doesn't talk about it, but as you began to pursue the relationship that God chooses to have with men throughout the history of the Bible, it becomes apparently clear that his primary purpose, as we're reading right here in 1 John, was relationship. God wants to know us. He wants us to know him. And so, you know, Rick's always said, the main thing is keeping the main thing the main thing. So the main thing for all of us is that we're growing in our intimacy with Jesus. Are we growing in intimacy? Are we growing in the ability to know him, to feel his presence, to connect with his voice? And here, I can get that out of your way. Are we connecting with him? So that's number one. Number two, same verse right here. Fellowship with one another. So we got fellowship with God, and we got fellowship with one another. And, you know, it's so key that we, you know, even like today, everybody was praying for people, and we were connecting as a body, and, you know, we need each other. Nobody makes it by themselves. You will not make it through the Christian walk. You will get taken out by the enemy if you don't have correct relationships with the rest of the body. That's just a reality. Hebrews 10:25 says, do not forsake the assembling together and other brethren. The reason why you don't do that is because it's dangerous. The enemy will take you out if you get isolated. We need each other. Scripture says, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. None of us got it worked out. None of us are perfect. We need each other to grind on our edges and us grind on your edges. You know, it's a process. And church life is usually sloppy, and it's... you know, people are irritating at times, and, you know, I remember hearing somebody say, you know, the church would be all right if there wasn't people in it. That's probably true, but, you know, that's the purpose, is that we learn how to overcome and learn how to love, and you can't have a love growth without having resistance to that. How can you grow in love if you're not having something that's unlovable? You know, if everybody was lovable, it'd be easy. You wouldn't learn love. You wouldn't learn love at all. You just learn how to get along with people because we're all so perfect. But we're not perfect, and that's, you know, and that's actually, in a way, it's a good thing because we get to learn. We get to choose. Do I love? Do I choose to love? Do I stay in relationship with people? So we see that our first calling is relationship, and I just want to, that's not the main message today, but I just wanted to highlight that our first aspect of our calling is relationship with God. We always got to keep the main thing the main thing. The main thing is our relationship with him. But the second, you know, is like it. Didn't Jesus say, what's the greatest commandment? It's to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. But then he says the second is like it, is to love your neighbor as yourself. So the second, those are the two most important things. But then, there's something else. Do you know that having all the relationship and intimacy with God, having all that is not complete in itself? That's not enough. God is not enough. Did that shock you? He designed us in a way that wouldn't be enough. He purposefully had a design for us. And let's look at it. This is Genesis. Let's go all the way back to the beginning. Genesis chapter 1. And this is kind of, now we're starting to get into what I really want to talk about. Genesis 1, starting in verse 26. we begin to see a picture of what God is speaking when he creates man. So Genesis 1:26, then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. And God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over every living thing that moves on the earth. All right? So when God created man, he clearly gives man something called purpose. And it's imperative that when something is designed, if you design something, it's meant for a job. It's meant to do something. And if something's not doing what it was created to do, there's an emptiness. We have a calling on our lives. We're called to rule. The scripture says we're called to rule and reign with Christ. Where does that language come from? It goes all the way back to Genesis. The scripture says that talking about the Lord in Revelation, that he's King of kings and Lord of lords. Who are these kings that he's kings of? Who are these lords that he's Lord of? It's the body. We're called to rule and reign with Christ. We have got to learn how to rule. We have learned how to rule in this life. We have got to learn how to take dominion over the area that God's called us to. We all have a sphere of authority that God has called us to walk in, an area that we can impact the world for the sake of the gospel. And as we begin to realize, hey, what is my sphere of authority? What is the area that God has called me to rule and reign in? Then we can get proactive in seeing, you know, the kingdom advanced into those areas. So I want to talk to us a little bit about that, you know, because I want us to understand, if you're not engaged in purpose, you will never, ever be alive like you are when you are engaged in purpose. Getting engaged in purpose, something unlocks and you come alive. There is nothing like doing the thing that God's called you to do. And you will not be totally satisfied even with your little private time with God, which is incredible. It's the main thing. We got to keep that the main thing. You can't do your job without it. But you will never be satisfied without being engaged in the purpose that God's called you to do. Much of our problems in our lives that we have is because we're not engaged in our purpose. A lot of the stuff would just automatically work its way out if we just begin to get engaged in what God's called us to do as an individual. So, let's talk about that. I really believe, and this is where, you know, this is definitely Morningstar DNA as far as, you know, we're a church plant out of a ministry out of Charlotte, Fort Mill, technically now, and right at the border of South Carolina, North Carolina. Up in that area. That's the home base, if you will. And they, you know, our calling is to be an equipping center. And honestly, I believe the local church is called to be an equipping center. When you go to church somewhere, you should not be allowed to just sit in the pew and not get engaged and trained and equipped for your purpose. Okay? Much of the problem is the body of Christ is there's only a few people doing stuff. And that's just, we're going to talk about that a little bit. Now, I want to tell you a dream I had. But everybody turn to Ephesians 4. It's going to go along with this dream. This dream really impacted me. I had it back in the very early 2000s or late 90s, and I don't remember. It was right around that time period. Ephesians chapter 4, we're going to start in verse 11 in a minute, but I had this dream, and in the dream, I could hear Rick Joyner preaching, but I could not see him. I heard his voice, and he was preaching about the end times, but in the dream, as he's preaching, and I'm hearing his voice preach, I'm literally watching it play out in front of me. As if I'm there observing. And what he was preaching is he was saying that in the last days, that all of God's people, he was basically saying that a person that has a need from the Lord, they could go to any of God's people and get whatever they need. If they needed healing, they could go up to them. They could get healing. If they needed a word from the Lord, they could get a word. Whatever was needed, they could go to any member of the body. And I saw, like, it was like people walking down this path, and they would run across a believer, and they had what these people needed. And it was like bankers, and, you know, I mean, you could be a bagger at the grocery store. It was just all the, it didn't matter what your profession was. If you were a believer in Christ Jesus in the last days, you were walking in the power of Jesus. And I woke up, and I'll be honest with you, back at that time period, that challenged the selfish ambition in my heart, because I thought I was called to leadership, and what does that leave for me? You know, and I said, Lord, if that's true, you got to give me a scripture. And he spoke to me as clear as a bell. He said, Ephesians 4:11-12. And I turned over to it, and I want us to look at it. And he gave some as apostles, some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ. Okay, so we're not done, but let me just stop for a second. If you ever wondered whether or not apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, people don't usually have problems with pastors and teachers, but sometimes people have problems with, hey, are there apostles today? Are there prophets today? Well, according to this scripture, that he's given some apostles, some prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of service to the building up the body of Christ until, so we have them when? Until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. How full is Jesus? He's pretty full. This scripture clearly says that we have apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, and their job is to equip the church for the works of service until, and they're doing this job until everyone is equipped and prepared and ready to the point that they're filled up to the very fullness of Christ. Isn't that incredible? I mean, that's mind-boggling. I mean, really? Really? When Jesus comes back, he's coming back with a bride without spot or wrinkle. She's going to look like him. We are the body of Christ. And so it is imperative that church leaders begin to do it. And so if you come here, I'm just warning you, if you come here, get ready to be equipped. We don't believe in people just sitting on the back edge and not being connected with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit in you is no different than the Holy Spirit in me. It's the same Holy Spirit. So why should we expect great things from certain people but not so much from others? That means we're trusting in the flesh, not the Spirit. You know, even in the early book of Acts, when there was the apostles that had given themselves, they said, look, it's not good that we go and serve tables. We need to set ourselves aside for prayer and the word. And so they set aside 7 men who were going to take care of all the widows and making sure the food was set out. But one of them was so full of faith in the Holy Spirit, the scripture says, that he arose and was actually outshining the apostles in works. He was healing the sick. He was preaching the gospel. And he became you know how he was outshining them? He was the one that got put to death. The Pharisees couldn't handle it because they couldn't refute this guy. He was making such a scene, destroying the works of the devil and bringing the kingdom. And this was just a servant who was just called to serve tables. But he was doing the works. He was doing the stuff. And that's our calling. That's our calling. And so we want to take... I'm not doing my job if at some point I'm really not, you know, if you guys aren't trained up and can do the very same thing I'm doing. And I know that's a shift for some people in the way church works, but I think it's right. I think it's biblical, you know, and we have got to get, because listen, Jesus is coming. He really is coming. He's coming. You know, and we want to be ready. And, you know, Scripture says, woe to those who nurse babes in those days. I don't want to be nursing babies in that days. We need warriors. We need people who are equipped, ready to do the work of God, because we're in a war, guys. We're in a war. If you don't see it, look at all the people hit with cancer. That's a war. That's a demonic attack on the church. That's a demonic attack on us. The Bible says that the gates of hell shall not prevail. Well, they look like they're prevailing a little bit at times, don't they? Got people dying of sickness in churches. That ain't supposed to be like that. I don't know. Sorry, guys. That makes me mad. I don't want to see that stuff. I want to see victory. Don't you? So we're gonna be an equipping center. We're going to be a place where you can come and get trained, and then you start doing the training. You know, you can only do so much inside of a church service. The majority of what the church is called to is outside the walls. I've spent most of my adult life doing ministry outside the church walls. And it's amazing. I've never went out to minister to people where I didn't have someone's life that was absolutely transformed as long as I stayed in faith, which means there were a few times I let fear get a hold of me and I ran, put my tail between my legs and ran home. And there was a few times I got my butt kicked. But every time that I went out and I refused to run, to stand my ground and to go and minister to people, I would see somebody's life get impacted. It's because God wants to reach people. And so much of it, I mean, you guys all have jobs, right? That's your field. You should be the apostle to your field. You should be the prophet to your field. You should be the pastor in your field. You should be the teacher in the field. We can't reach the world if we're not arising to be Jesus to the world. So 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. It's just the same thing, but I want to, you know, one scripture is not enough. Let's get a couple. It's the sum of thy word of truth. You don't want to take one scripture. You want to look at the whole. It's the weight of scripture that we hold on to. Is it bad? Okay, here we go. Just looking for it. All right, 2 Timothy 3. Okay. 2 Timothy 3, verse 16 and 17. At my first offense, no one supported me, but all deserted me. May it not be counted against them. Oh, wait a minute. That ain't it. Wrong. I'm in the wrong spot somehow. Oh, sorry. Here we go. 16. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. Okay, so that scripture clearly shows us that we're called to be equipped for every good work. Now, you don't have to turn back there, but back in Ephesians where we were reading, just want to go a little deeper on this thought here. I think we stopped at verse 13, but as in talking about having these equippers that are equipping the church so that the church can do the work of service until we all attain to the fullness of Jesus. And then it says, as a result, okay, as a result. So what of all this stuff doing? Well, as a result, we are no longer to be children tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. Speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ. So if there's any question about how much of Jesus we're supposed to be walking in, this scripture pretty much takes that away, because it says right here that we are to grow up in all aspects. Everybody say all. Is there anything outside of all? No. All aspects into him. What did Jesus do? He healed the sick. He preached the gospel. He raised the dead. He cast out devils. If Jesus did it, that's our calling. We're to grow up into all aspects into him. We're to grow up into him. Right? Getting quiet. All right. So I just want to ask a question. How many people here feel like you know what your calling is. Okay? We got about half the crowd. Okay, so that's pretty good, actually. And when I say that, just to say this as a side note, you know, David was a shepherd. He was a worshiper. He was anointed to be king. But there was a season that he was called to be a shepherd. And then there was a process. Then he became a warrior. Then he became a priest and a king. You know, he wasn't a priest by the law, but he became a priest in the spirit. And he even put on priestly garments, and God didn't kill him because he was doing it in the spirit. He was doing it in faith. So my point in that is that we all have seasonal callings that the work that we're called to do in whatever season we're in is actually preparing us for the next season of work, okay? So I'm not trying to get people nailed down into where you can't, there's not more, but we need to know what is our starting point. What are we called to do right now? So let's do this again. How many people know what they're called to do right now? Okay, good bit. All right. How many people here are doing what you know that you're called to do right now? Okay, almost the same. That's pretty good. I think from what I could tell, the consensus is from talking to other people that do this in a lot bigger scale. I know Rick's done this quite a bit, and he travels all over the world speaking in churches. That really it's like less than 10% of Christians actually know what they're called to do. And then there's like 3% from based on what he was saying that actually are walking in what they're called to do. So what does that tell us? If 3% of your body was functioning, what would be going on right now? You'd be dead. Honestly, much of the powerlessness, much of the lack of power in the church is due to us not, as individuals, being equipped and trained and in our purpose. Let me give you a scripture. Ephesians 4, we're right back where we were, but down a little further. 15, we just read, we're growing up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ. And then verse 16, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by that which every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part. Y'all catch that? Causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. I'm going to read that again. From whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by that which every joint supplies. Okay, so where does this power come from? It comes from every joint supplies. So as we are joined together, all walking in our calling, there's a connection to power from the head. You know, the power comes from the head. It comes down. But the problem is the body is so disjointed, and we're not properly connected. And so the enemy's able to get in and do things that he wasn't supposed to be able to do. So according to every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building of itself in love. You know, the scripture says one will put 1,000 to flight. Two will put 10,000. What does that tell us? There's multiplication that takes place when people are properly joined together. You know, you don't just, when you get joined in unity, you know, and didn't Jesus say that? Where two or three agree, touching any one thing, it shall be done. Okay? There's a unity, and it's a spirit unity. It's a spirit bond. It's when you get in koinonia, when you're joined by the Spirit in unity with those you're called to be joined with, there's a release of power that happens when you're properly connected to the people you're supposed to be connected. And so when we're all, what do you think is going to happen when the whole body of Christ is all walking in their proper place, They're in the right line. They're not jumping in front of others. We're not fighting. We're not trying to jump in front. We're walking in our purpose and destiny, and we're being the kings that we're called to in the sphere of authority, all connected to one another. And all of us are on the wall with our spot on the wall, and we're addressing and being kings over that section of the wall that we've been called to, locked arms with the person to the left and to the right of us that have their section on the wall. If one puts 1,000 and two 10,000, what's going to happen? The enemy ain't going to have room for nothing. He's not. And so it's imperative that we begin to get equipped in our place. And so just kind of a, this is just kind of to warm us up a little bit. We really want to make sure that we're doing our job in equipping people that come here. And they get equipped. The first stop in that process really has to be learning to hear from the Lord. That really does open up everything else. We have to, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and another they will not follow. We have to get connected to the head first. And so we have to get connected with that. So we're going to continue to finish up the prophetic training that we started in October. We had a little break in December. Obviously a lot going on. We want to go back to that. We want to revisit it. We want to go deeper in it. We've got to go after healing, guys. Every single one of you is called to heal the sick. These signs shall follow them that believe. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Didn't say they might. It says they shall. We have got to go after this. I'm going to read this. I wrote this down. We want to see a church where God's Spirit is moving freely, doing what He wants, having each member here being equipped and trained to function in their role. So I would say that we're really called to be a two-purpose, like we talked about, a two-purpose place. Our first purpose is, I really think, and I've heard Rick say this a lot, and I think it's really true, in John 1, the first question asked to Jesus by the disciples, they were actually disciples of John. And they were, John said, look, behold the Lamb of God. And these two disciples heard him speak, and they began to follow Jesus. And this is verse 38. And Jesus turned and beheld them following and said to them, what do you seek? So Jesus, when God asks you a question, he already knows the answer. So we need to realize that when God asks a question, He's trying to get us to look at something, to see something. And He says, what do you seek? And they said to Him, Rabbi, which translated means teacher, where are you dwelling? Where are you staying? So our first call as a church is to find out where's He at. We want to be a church where God is. We don't want to care about what people want, ultimately. We want to care about what God wants. And if God shows up, He'll take care of the people. But we got to seek Him first, keeping the main thing the main thing. And then the second part is that we each are connected to our calling, our purpose, and our destiny. And we're walking in that. And when that's happening, man, God's going to do some awesome stuff. Amen?
Amen.
All right, cool. Yeah. Let's pray. Let's ask God to begin to. There was half the people that didn't know. The first step in trying to identify your calling is asking. I mean, you don't need to overcomplicate it. It's seek the head. Lord, what am I called to do? Okay, so let's pray. Let's ask the Lord to pray. Holy Spirit, this is on your heart. This is what you're doing. So we don't have to strive at this. There's no striving. It's the God of peace that crushes Satan under our feet. But Lord, we do seek you right now. Holy Spirit, I ask that right now you would speak to every person in this room and that they would begin to get a revelation from heaven about their calling, about how you want to reveal yourself to the world through them. Father, you knew us before we were formed in the womb. And you had a calling and a purpose, a way that pleased your heart to reveal who you are through that person. And so, Lord, I ask that you would begin to pour out your Spirit right now. Holy Spirit, come and touch everybody here. And, Father, I just ask that you would begin to speak to them, give them dreams from heaven, give them visions, give them encounters with the Holy Spirit that reveal their purpose. So, Father, we can move forward. And I thank you for that, Lord. I just ask for an increase, Lord, right now of divine revelation from heaven. Father, we want to hear what heaven's saying. We want to see what heaven's doing. We want the eyes of our heart to be open, Lord, that you would give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation into the knowledge of you. So, Father, I ask that that spirit of revelation will be poured out on every thirsty person here right now. And, Father, for every person that isn't thirsty, I ask that you make them thirsty. As that dear lady told me one time, God won't go against your will, but he knows how to make you willing. So, Lord, I ask that you make us willing, God. Make us willing, Lord. Put in our heart a hunger and a passion for you, that we would be like those disciples, Lord, in hot pursuit. We leave in John, we going on to Jesus. Lord, where do you dwell? And so, Lord, I want to be one. I want to be somebody that's seeking after you with all my heart, that I'm following you no matter where it takes me. And, Lord, I ask for that grace to be on us all, that we would love you with all our heart and we would be in hot pursuit of you and what you want to do in and through our lives. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Well, thanks, guys. We're looking forward to moving forward. Now, just
all right. Thank you, Travis. That was a really good word. And it's just like Christianity 101. God, why am I on this earth? What did you make me here? What did you make me for? You know what I mean? Why didn't you just like take us out after we got saved? You know, why are we up in heaven right now? Because we have a purpose. Each one of us has a purpose, and they're interconnected. And, you know, so I encourage you guys, the next coming weeks, pay attention to your dreams. Pay attention to your times with the Lord, him speaking to you, because we're going to be going through this stuff. Identifying exactly what you're made to do, exactly what the purposes of your life, and that you can really flourish where God's planted you here in Wilmington. Okay? Well, cool. All right, well, you guys have a good Sunday. We will see you next week.